Hi, everybody. Okay, we're back for part B, which is mostly a theoretical way to look at the T's. Basically, T-Theory Foundation is to do studies, and it's my major preoccupation once we get this top taken care of, and we start looking into a period of correction. I'm going to work almost 100% of my time in this theory. And the easiest way to get yourself organized in here is to say that T-theory is better understood in its most complete state by the means of echoes. What we say is if we go to the two T's that we just discussed, is that there is a if we go back to the March low. In the first chart, the process zone is that the top, which we saw in the first days of June, is really an echo of a momentum peak, which was seen at the left end of where the volume oscillator made its peak, and that echo is the disturbance, and it comes down to the early March low, and then it comes back up to you and causes the early June peak. In the case of the second T, what you have is you have a rebound off of you have another T with the cash buildup phase starting from a momentum peak, but you hit off two lows, and two lows cause an interference pattern to develop, which produces multiple tops. This is a big problem because it turns out all the big catastrophes in the stock market, except for the August 82 bottom, were double bottoms. And what you do is you get this echo off the double bottom, except in that case, which produces multiple tops, and now you're getting confused by multiple tops. And that's what the predicament is right now. The ABCD construction takes care of the multiple tops pattern, but there's a lot of interesting things going on there. They don't really have anything to do with making money, but there's a lot of confusion that's going on there, and if you can learn to unravel that, you can go a long way into improving your performance as far as the stock market is concerned. So we're going to talk about that, but I basically wanted to spend part B in here in a discussion of some of the things that developed back in the 80s, where people like Marty Schwartz, myself, Peter Elides, Arch Crawford were sort of like up-and-coming people, and that environment was basically dominated by Joe Granville, who in the late 60s wrote the book on technical analysis, forecast the decline into the 74 low, called the 74 low correctly. Late 74, early 75. During the 75 to 80 period, he got everything right, and we were nobodies, but he was the guru, okay? And then after 1980, the market declined into the August of 82 low, which he properly called. Then he went on this bizarre thing where we had these he was selling subscriptions, and they had people rising out of coffins and so forth, and it was a complete act. It was a public relations act, and he we went into the 82 low. He told everybody that there was no chance of a rally. The market then performed the greatest rally that was ever seen, which was clear to me in T-theory. It was clear to Peter Eliades. It was clear to most anybody that had any non anyone who had a more complete observation as to what was going on. It was the highest, it was the best, most attractive price earnings ratios that ever been seen in the stock market. Okay, but technicians don't look at that. A lot of other people have different ways to look at the market, but in any case, the people that got that right made a fortune. And what happened is that all the people that were following Joe Granville. They were mispositioned when they came out, and when it came out, he told them to short the market. They took all the remaining money, shorted it, and they blew them all out of the water, and they're all bankrupt. So he sort of faded off into history. That kind of thing is the big thing you worry about in the stock market, because when I went into the period of going into 07, I thought there was a major important top. Okay, most of the banks didn't believe it. They were on 30 times margin, and so they ran into the same problem that Joe Granville ran into. They were fundamentalists, but they were greedy fundamentalists is what they were, and so they were operating a margin. They all got wiped out. I had a little problem at that point because I thought the market was going to crash, and so I bought gold stocks, got stopped out on that. Bought currencies, got stopped out on that, and basically have concluded that if you got a big problem, there aren't any solutions. The so-called gold bugs really don't have any solution. They're just a fringe element. And if you want to know what the gold is going to do, you just watch the stock market. So you notice all the gold bugs are real happy because the market's gone up. Well, if we make this top up here, they're not going to be too happy because you're going down into mid-November, late November. So you have to work all this stuff into the equations. And when it comes to the big, really, really big things, you have to be very, very careful. Otherwise, you end up with Joe Granville. The guy was brilliant, and then he was the shooting star. It was brilliant, and then it died and it went away. That's the problem in sustainability. And one of the things that I do claim is that I always made money from the time we started our management program in '78. I do regret '07. Transferring over to the what would you call the hard assets, and then finding out it didn't work. Basically, it's a short sale. So somebody says, "How come you don't tell me about short sales?" Well, you know, I'm not an advisory service business, but I wouldn't tell you to buy gold because the gold's going to go down. So you have to, you know, but I'm not going to recommend anything if you get into trouble with that angle. So in any case. The difference in the bottom zones between the bottom zones of technical analysis, which was the Granville concept, cycles. Peter Elias is a very competent person in that area, and Arch Crawford is competent. They go hot and they go cold because they're using this Bradley system, which is developed in the 1940s, where you have turning points, but they don't know whether they're highs or lows. And Don showed me the website where they have all that stuff, you know. But basically, T-theory is almost completely now gotten to the point where it's completely explainable by echoes. And so we're going to talk about echoes today, and this in the Part B concept, and I will give you a little bit of a background on that. If you look at go back to my T-Theory Foundation, and you look at the chart that goes for the advanced decline T's from 66 to the late 1990s, I have drawn a lot of T's. And those T's are all simple time symmetrical constructions which can be explained as echoes that start from the echo has a response at the previous peak in the advanced decline line. It bounces off the low at the center post of the T, and it arrives back in an equal amount of time to cause a market peak. The rationale for that isn't obvious, but if you look for example at that chart, you see that there is a 6-year decline from the 68 peak in the advanced decline line down to the 74 low, which is a double bottom, and you have to kind of split that one out on that. And you project a top in September of 80. And it sort of developed there, and it went down into a black hole. Granville got that one exactly right. It came back up, and then it rolled over into the August 82 low. By the August 82 low, there was a 2-year decline apparent in the advanced decline line. Came out of it was the greatest rally, that probably the most profitable rally ever seen in the stock market. People, I know because I was in the money management business, people got out of the market, panicked to get out of equities because it was going up too fast. You know, you have to remember the great Cohen, the great movie producer, is too much of a good thing is wonderful. Okay, they thought too much of a good thing was a panic, and they got out of the market. They wouldn't know. Everybody that Granville was forecasting says it's got to be a short sale here, and they got wiped out. So, you know, the people that owned something got out because it was too fast. The people that wanted to get short, they did it, and they got wiped out. So it was one of those things where the dynamic overload was so great that you couldn't believe these things were going on. And so, you know, the question is that the people that are around today in business are the people that figured it out, and the people that had the short-term view, conventional view, that you know, they just didn't get it right, and so that they're not rich like the rest of us are. Marty Schwartz was the interesting case because he was operating on borrowed money, so he was just treading this line where he says, yeah, I understand this part about the big mega T is forming and so forth, but, you know, if I lose money, like I borrowed money for my wife's family, you know. So he had a really, really difficult case. You could become quite paranoid under that kind of a situation. It was the interesting case to think about Peter Eliades as somebody who was watching, who knew him and was watching KWHY TV in California, said that things got to be really bad because Peter is. Let me preface this and say that I didn't do any advertising at that time because you couldn't advertise. I was in the advisory business at the time. You couldn't get anybody to do anything because they were all mesmerized by this decline, which was really a holdover from the 74. It made this huge disturbance in 74. You had a rally, which was a low, okay? But it was going back down to a 50% retracement. And you had these people that wouldn't budge. They were mesmerized by the high interest rates at the time, that you were going into a depression. And so I didn't do anything. But anyway, I get the word that Peter Eliades, who was a very, very talented fellow, was doing a piano bar act. He was good enough to get in, and he never made a record or anything like that, but he was good on the stock market because he was telling people that as you came down here, there was a big cycle that was bottoming out, but there were lots of little cycles in between, and you were getting a confluence that was approaching. So the big day of the turn was coming, because, you know, and don't be disturbed by these little things. But anyway, nobody believed any of that stuff. So he's gifted musically, so he was doing a piano bar entertainment, and I was making money, but I was paying my father rent to live in his house, and the only people that were really sitting on the great wad of money was Joe Granville, and they subsequently got wiped out. So it was a tremendous turnabout in the fortunes of everybody, and that was a very important remembering that time symmetries, big time symmetries, mean big things are going to happen. If you find the center post, then you can get rich. If you get misinterpreted on this stuff, you just get cleaned out. So anyway, so now let's jump ahead to the future here. I'm setting up T-Theory Foundation to carry on. I have a lot of projects that I'm. People have said they were interested in collaborating things. I would say that one of the things that's very, very important to me is that all of those 1966 to the late 90s T's, which are perfect examples of time asymmetry, are being overlooked and they have to be readdressed. The reason is at 74, you had a six-year, if you look at the charts there, at T3 Foundation, you for the advanced decline T's from 66 to the late 90s, you'll see that the market was down 6 years into 74, projected a rally up into 80, which is 74 plus 6 years is 80, went down for 2 years, came up for 2 years, and that was correct. Then the market started going sideways. It went sideways for some 6, 7, or 8 months, and then it turned up. Well, technically, what you're looking for in T-theory is a decline in the advanced decline line. But it is possible to say that a sideways turn, then if you break out, is a T. So you could have a rise for the equal amount of time of the sideways projection, and that would get you into the August of that. You could justify that would get you to the August of 87 peak, and then the market crashed. Okay, so why is it true that the market crashed? The answer is very simple. Markets have to subsist on advanced decline tests, and you can look beyond the period of the crash, and you can see that it's always true that the market cannot make a new T unless it's got something that you could construe as the left side of the T, which is usually it's a decline, but it could be sideways in a special case. So what we have is the case is, and this is new information to answer a question of what happens, you know, how do you figure out what happens after August 26th of 2010, is it's clear in that example and subsequent examples that if you run an advanced decline, you run the market into a situation where a rising advanced decline line will not permit you to draw T's, the market will work itself into a box and the market will crash because it has to have advanced decline T's to advance, and if you put it in the impossible situation, it will crash. So if you follow that logic through in that example, you'll see why it has to be that the market's going to crash. If you look at the end after the crash, you'll see that the market did very well coming up in the 90s. But as you were coming into the last history of that chart into the late 1990s, you'll see that what was happening is the market would run up and make a small T. You'd make a small correction, so you get a small T. The advanced decline would go to a new high, and you'd have to have a new correction because there was no new T possible. And if you agree that the time symmetry has to be is the primary motivation for the market moves, then you can only get a small rally afterwards. Well, this thing can go on. It kept going on into the 80s, and it actually got to 2000 before the market got tired of making small rallies off of small T's, and the market, it didn't crash, but you went into a momentous bear market. That momentous bear market is the beginning of the end of what we don't know as the profitability and process. It's not obvious from the conclusions that you might have drawn from those charts, but you can see the impossibility of the situation. And I think that's very, very important, and I will be doing articles on that one. Because it turns out that if you get into an impossible situation where you can't make the T to go, you can't make an advanced decline T, the market has to go into a major decline. So, for example, if you look at the next series of charts where we projected as a top in the fall of 07, you'll see that the S&P came up to make a double top, but the advanced decline line made a new high. So there's no way you can draw a T. You know, if the advanced decline goes in, you're supposed to have a decline in the advanced decline. So it's not possible to do it, and that's why you have the panic in the 08. Okay. So now we're coming out of this double bottom, and we're going to drive the advanced decline line up to the computation is until August of 2010. What happens if you get the advanced decline line, which is, if you look at the chart today, it's very strong, it goes to a new high? The answer is you cannot draw a new advanced decline T. Advanced decline T's run the market, so the market's going to crash afterwards. So that answers the question, what do you think is going to happen after this August, this projected stop in August, what's going to happen afterwards? If the advanced decline line makes a new high, it's impossible to draw a new T, so you're boxed in the way you were prior to the 87 crash, you're boxed in the same way you were at the late 07 top, and I would assume that when we went through that, and if you go back, slide back, you'll find a commentary on the 40-year cycle, which was turned out to be a 39-year cycle, so you take 39 years, you add it to 74, and you get 2013. That's where you would confirm it. However, if the advanced decline line tops out and doesn't make a new high, it's possible you could draw a T starting from the 07 peak, was early July, and then maybe you could make a bigger T. That may not work, but if you do go to new highs on the advanced decline line, personally, I think you've got to go to new highs because I think the advanced decline line is this latent speculation going on. And if you all you got to do is come up with a new scheme to speculate on going into August of next year, and you'll drive the advanced decline line up, you'll get boxed in, and you'll have to say it's a market crash, and I believe that would be the correct forecast. So that's to answer the questions that people have to say about why are we talking about, all this echo business. Well, what happens is the echoes play through the T's fine, But you know, what you have, you get in the advanced decline line can box you in where you can't make another T. And that's the way T theory tells you that you're going to have a problem. Okay, that ends B, and then we'll be back. We'll go on to C. Bye-bye.